Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Zakiya Pierre. Zakiya is Director of Student Engagement with the Office of Student Affairs here at the Darden School of Business, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to talk a bit more about her background, what led her to Darden, and how she supports the leaders of our student clubs and organizations. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Zakiya Pierre. Zakiya, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing this. I know how busy things are for you. So thanks for carving out a little time for us. First and foremost, before we get into the real substance of our conversation, I want to check in with you and see how you're doing. How are things?
Good. I'm an optimist. So to me, I'm always looking for the silver lining. So it's always a good day to me because there's something to find that's good. So I'm doing pretty good. I have two small kids. I'm lucky that they're in an in-person school. So that probably makes my days even more sort of like good that we don't have to do virtual school at home. But overall doing very well. Thank you for asking though.
Have you picked up any pandemic hobbies? Anything along the way here?
No. So between work, pretty much trying to take care of, over 700 students and, manage my own sort of personal life with two toddlers under five. it's a lot. So no room to pick up extra.
I can understand that. That sounds like a very full plate. And we invited you on the podcast to talk not just about, what's going on in the world, but also what's going on at Darden. So we have had many conversations here on the podcast about extracurricular life, student organizations, had many leaders of student organizations on the podcast through the years of these podcast episodes. And I know you're so involved with working with the student leaders on what they're doing and the programming that they're offering. We said, well, we got to get Zakiya on here. So thank you for doing this. But before we get into all of that, I want our listeners to have a chance to learn a little bit more about you. So we've already started to set the stage a little bit, but tell us, who are you and what is your background?
Yeah, so you guys know my name, Zakiya Pierre. So I started out as a scientist. So my background is actually in the sciences. If you were to look at my LinkedIn profile, we're talking business school. That's how people find people. I am a scientist by training. I essentially worked in the space of sort of quality control as a chemical engineer and then transitioned to, I thought I wanted to be a forensic scientist at some point. I think CSI was super popular. Now I'm getting into how old I am. And so I decided to go off and get a PhD in chemistry. And that was quite the ride. Completed that and worked for a bit in the field. I navigated away, like while I was in grad school, I worked on sort of some bioanalytical projects. So a lot of sort of with the COVID, like a lot of that language I actually understand because I studied immune response and sort of some of the reactions that happen as a result to our immune system responding and how it can actually have counter effects. So a lot of the language that's used, I'm actually lucky that I studied that because I understand a lot of it, but I'm not in the space anymore and have been out for, almost a decade now. When I got out of grad school, I transitioned to the sort of STEM philanthropy space, an opportunity to help, young students who wanted to, forge the path that I had been on, to help them to not only raise the funds so that they can have the preparation through programs, but also just help them understand what it means to prepare for a major such as engineering or chemistry or something in the sciences. So that's what I did prior to sort of coming to the University of Virginia. And when I got to the University of Virginia, I actually started in the engineering school. I was doing the same work there, sort of in their Center for Diversity in Engineering, sort of helping students to navigate this field, something I'd been on that journey before, so helping them with that. And ultimately, folks at Darden learned about sort of the work I was doing. And at the time, Peter Rodriguez was here and he invited me to come and do some similar work here at Darden. What's funny is I never thought that this would relate. I'm a scientist, helping scientists is what I do. And he's like, but helping people is what you do. Like, I think this will translate perfectly fine. And I was not convinced. As like, you know, get out your comfort zone, try something new. That's what I was all about. But this was a little scary because I'm like, how will I help business students? I have no business acumen. So this might be a bust, a crash and burn, but I'll try it. And Peter was pretty insistent that I come and work here. So, I mean, you don't really turn down a job where someone's like, come here. So I came, I worked here. I started here in a diversity role, actually supporting students as associate director of diversity. And have since transitioned to director of student engagement. But in both of the roles, it's been sort of the student counselor here for students on their best days, on their worst days, to celebrate the wins when they get that job they've always wanted. And it's just been, I've been here for 6 years and it's been a great ride. I'm so glad I took Peter up on that opportunity to work with students in the business school. And I've learned so much from them too. It's like a whole nother language that I can add to my repertoire. So yeah, that's me.
It's quite a story. I think some of our listeners may be hearing your story and kind of asking the question of, when you think about people getting a PhD in something, that tends to be a bit more solitary, or you're doing lab work and, you know, you're really kind of focused on, well, you know, research, which doesn't always intersect with people. And yet you're really on the end of the people thing, right? You're working closely with students. And I'm curious about how you made that transition, or how you said, you know, this is really what I want to do.
Oh, gosh, I guess I can attribute much of that to people. I think something I've always leaned heavily on, and why this role is like natural for me, is people. Like, as I was navigating my own journey, it was the people who made the difference. As I was confused, as I had questions, it was the mentors along the way. And like I said, when I started grad school, I was like, I want to be a forensic scientist. And then I started the research and I was like, oh, this is going to be long. Like, when I leave here, like, none of this is going to be like figured out. This is going to be like generations are going to be working on this work. I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't know if I'm a lab person. And so my PI, Alexander Sheline, he's like a second dad to me. So he pretty much was like, I don't think research is for you. I think we can say that you are a great researcher, but your heart's not in it. Where you put your values, where you put your time is like supporting your colleagues here in grad school. When people need to talk to someone about, is this for me? Am I following the right path? I'm sad. They seem to come down here to this lab and want to talk to you. He's like, so you should explore that. What does that mean? How do you use the skills you have to help people? And he actually allowed me the freedom to try a bunch of things. Just usually when you're in grad school, you just research, you're at the bench, you're doing the work, you're publishing the papers, and you're trying to get out. But he gave me the freedom to take internships. I mean, he was asking for all kinds of random things that no one had ever asked for, but because he wanted to support me. And I'm so grateful for him. And so he essentially allowed me to take some internships, which allowed me to sort of expand into education. I worked in DC for a summer with Ed Pioneers, just working in education, you know, going back to sort of my STEM roots. And that's ultimately how I got into STEM philanthropy after grad school. I settled on that one, but I had tried some sort of technology management stuff. I tried a number of things, but it was always the people on the teams, the people that we were impacting with the work that led me and drove me. And so ultimately I ended up in Charlottesville because of a two-body challenge. My husband and I own a business here in town. So Charlottesville was the place where I needed to find a new job. And ultimately, engineering is always part of my background. That's how I ended up in the engineering school, and supporting people is just natural for me. And so if I could find a career where I can support people and help them to achieve their goals, like, I'm happy on a daily basis. So yes, it's very different than the sciences, but it drives me. It makes my heart sing. And the great thing about the job is that I also still get to do some analytical things. Like, when we're talking about whether or not we're having an impact on a student from our office perspective, what kind of things should we be changing, what things are working, surveying folks. It just, now that also comes naturally to me. Like I can look at the data and say, this is good. This is not so great. We should maybe make some shifts here. So it all comes into play every once in a while.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you still draw from that discipline and the studying and the coursework that you've done. And it sounds like it's still with you, and you're able to pull on those skills from time to time.
Definitely.
Well, one of the common things we've asked our student guests here on the podcast is about their adjustment to life at Darden. And, you know, as they were finding their footing during their first year, what was challenging? And I wonder what you might share with our listeners about that adjustment and what you typically see as the challenges for new Darden students.
So from the student perspective, like, what do I witness? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's new, right? And I think anything new, one, it's just going to, you're going to approach it probably with a bit of fear. And I think that's just normal. And so if people are like, I'm anxious about this or anxious about that, that's just normal. I pretty much tell them that's normal. I feel like a few weeks in, you might be like, whoa, I've never learned this way, which, you know, Darden, and it's just sort of amazing, you know, case method. I think everyone wants to come when they, you know, visit the school and they're like, case method, that was awesome experience to sit in the classroom and hear all those different perspectives. But after you've been in that for a week and you're like, that's a lot of cases. I wasn't sure what to say. My grade's on the line. You know, there's a lot of sort of, once again, sort of fear about newness. And I think the best thing is that we're here, right? So we have our office and our office is just here for students, regardless of what it is that they want to discuss. And so I always encourage students to come to our office and talk to us. You know, COVID has presented, you know, interesting for whether or not students can come into our office or whether or not we're in the building. But someone's always in the building. You know, right now we have at least one staff person in the building that you could always come and see. And we're always available virtually. So I think the biggest thing is just sort of a fear around newness and then a fear around sort of this new method of learning. But there are so many people to catch you. There are so many people to talk to. The faculty are amazing. I always tell students, like, I think people think of faculty as like sort of big, hairy, scary monsters, which they are not. And the faculty here at Darden are amazing. And all they want to do is help you. So go talk to them too. I think those are sort of the big things. I think people are fearful of the newness, but I also just want to remind them. So for all of you looking to come to Darden, there's just so many supports that fear will be there, but there's so much to help you to quench that fear.
I think that's a great point and so many good points there. And of course, all your classmates are in that same position,
yes,
right? You're all trying to find your footing.
Yes.
No one's been a first year student.
Bring up a great point there. I'm sorry to cut you off, Brett, but you bring up a great point there. I think that's another one too, is that everybody thinks they're in it alone. Like, it's gotta be just me that feels this way. Cause everybody puts on a brave face. And so I think that's the other thing, is that I recognize that people tend to think it's just them, but it's not, it's everybody.
Is it hard to get students to be vulnerable in that way and sort of open up and say, I'm struggling with this?
I think it requires a level of relationship building. And, you know, so I think it takes a certain person in the role. And that's why I love my team, is that all of us are just very passionate about the work we do. And we're very passionate about people and people's success. And so when you first meet me, you may not want to talk to me about anything because you don't know me. And the great thing is that I understand that. So normally students will sit with me and they'll be like, why am I here? Am I in trouble? And it's like, because normally we call for check-ins. And I just, you know, sit there with them and try to sort of build a relationship with them. So it's like, you're not in trouble. I actually just want to get to know you so that when I see you in the building, I can call you by your name. I can remember something special about you, something that makes your heart sing. And I think it's just building that relationship with the students early. It builds a level of trust, which then they can come back to you with the things that are bothering them. So it's often that in the first meeting, I don't get anything besides those sort of points and like who they are. And then when you meet them in the hallway and you call them by their name, oh gosh, people love when you remember who they are. And it's like, I'm not just a person. Like, I'm like, she actually does care enough to remember who I am. So then that's when they tend to start coming back and saying, hey, I have a few questions, or I'd need your help, or I want to tell you about this great thing. So it's building that relationship.
That totally makes sense. And, you know, we talked a lot about the sections here on the podcast, and, you know, trust is a big part of that, right? Relationship building, setting norms, having everybody agree to how they're going to engage with one another. Same sort of idea that you just expressed there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we have over 50 student organizations here at the Darden School of Business. For those of you doing the math for that, we have about 660 or so, maybe a little bit north of that, full-time MBA students, but over 50 student organizations. So that's quite a fit. Like, if you break it down on the student to organization ratio, that's pretty healthy. A lot of activity, a lot of engagement.
Yes.
So you work closely with the student organizations here.
I do.
How would you describe student organizational life at the Darden School to someone who doesn't know much about it yet?
Yeah, it is a great opportunity for you to leave your mark here at Darden. The University of Virginia in general is a student-led place. And so we really lean heavily on the students to sort of inspire us to make this place what they want it to be. And so the great thing about student leadership in a club is that now you actually have permission to go and make something great, or to do whatever it is that you want to see happen at Darden. And I think that's a power that you need to actually just internalize, sit with that for a moment. So although I advise clubs, I'm just here to be sort of someone that they bounce off ideas, someone that they come to when they have sort of logistical questions, or help navigating a situation. But a lot of the ideas come from them, and the creativity. I've been blown away this year by just the sheer creativity and time and commitment that the students have put in. But yeah, it's yours. I think that's the best thing about student leadership. As a matter of fact, with 56 clubs, I think we just added 2 new ones this year, because I'm like, hey, we can't possibly have any more clubs. But no, people found 2 things that we didn't have, and we added 2 more clubs. And it's like, this is just a great opportunity for you to sort of try out the sort of leadership that you would have, you know, been talking about in your entire first year, and put that to work in your second year. So it's actually, people find it extremely valuable, and an opportunity to lead people, to lead at the peer level, because that has its nuances. And what does that mean? Yeah, it's just a great opportunity. And most students who take advantage of it will tell you that in years after they've graduated.
We opened the door a little bit to talk about what's going on right now, like adaptation that's in place because of COVID. We talked a little bit here on the podcast about how the university's health and safety guidelines are really driving a lot of what we're able to do. And those guidelines are evolving depending upon, you know, where we are with the virus.
The day, the hour.
That's right. So earlier in the year, we could get 15 people together in groups. Then it dropped down to 5, and then maybe up to 10. And this number will continue to fluctuate. So the kind of creativity that you've been talking about is really important, because, you know, the virus is right now not a static thing, and the health and safety guidelines are continuing to evolve. What are you seeing from students in terms of their adaptation? Any particular events or programming you'd want to highlight?
Yeah. So, I mean, the great thing is that what we've seen all along throughout, sort of once we sort of got a handle on COVID, I think around May, is the idea of outside. Outside is like, allows us a bit of freedom to sort of roam the cabin. Once you come indoors, you have some complexities that sort of limit you, but it doesn't stop you. So I think the students just had to wrap their head around sort of what was possible. And then, I mean, they just ran wild. So I'll give you an example. So we have a club called the School of Brew. And I think they're only like 4 years old or something like that. But they were like, look, people need to connect, even though we are during these times. And, you know, people are apprehensive. They're not sure. Everyone's new. I don't know them as well. we still got to get people together, but we need to make sure that they feel safe. So we need to make sure we're abiding by the guidelines. So they come to me often, primarily just to make sure where we are with the health and safety measures. What can I do? If I wanted to get, you know, I want to get 50 people together. I know I can't get them in groups larger than 10 right now, but then when it was five, it's like, I know it's five. So what are my options? And it's like, okay, well, we know we can't get 50 people together all at once. So they were like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to talk to some local breweries who we want to support local business. So we're going to talk to these breweries, see if we can get multiple breweries to host at least two sets of five. And we'll make sure that they understand that those five sets need to be in separate parts of the brewery as they taste. And these are the rules. And so, I mean, one of the events they held was like 40 people spread around town at breweries, but they had to manage that. They had to figure out what that was. They had to figure out what they needed to communicate to their members in terms of if you sign up for this event, what the protocols are, regardless of what the restaurant or the brewery allows. This is what the university wants. They had to write all that up. They had to, you know, figure out how people could sign up, because we have maybe way more than 40 people that would be interested in an event like that. So, you know, is it going to be lottery? Is it going to be first to sign up? So just, I'm just trying to give you just sort of the gravity of the situation of like what it now takes to be a club leader. And that they're so willing to put in the work for their first year peers to experience what they experienced in their first year. It's not the same, but it's still an experience that they want them to have. And I have just been blown away by the creativity and just the effort and time. So I'm so grateful for them. They make my job easier. I do spend a lot more time with them, which is actually fun. but most of it's talking about COVID, so that doesn't make it as exciting. But knowing that we're keeping folks safe and knowing how well we've gone through the year with having had, gosh, over 50 activities, if you think about how small they have to be, I'm amazed with them. So we're doing it here at Dart. And so if, you know, if you're worried about coming here and being safe, and things sort of having come to a screeching halt, that is just not true here. Students are getting together, they're connecting, and they're doing so safely by the leadership of their peers. And I'm so proud of them.
That's an incredible story. It's worth noting that all those people planning that event also are full-time MBA yes. students as well. Yes. So a lot on their plates. I will say on the podcast, we've heard about a relay race that happened recently.
Yes, I think that was one of the highlights of the year, because because it was outside and they were able to get more people together. I think we were at 10 at that point. And because athletics actually has their own sort of different rules around like sort of how many people can get together, I think it's like 14. So it gives you a little bit higher capacity. And the idea of a relay means that you have a group can sort of run to the next group and then they carry on. So people got to see people. You get to see people unmasked, right? Because some people haven't seen people's real face. And yet you are doing so safely. I mean, the students had a great time. And we recently had and that was led by DSA, so the Darden Student Association. And then Darden Student Association, you know, after that was, you know, a huge hit, they over in one of the apartment complexes that is close to the school, Ivy Gardens, they held sort of a Halloween parade. So to get the families involved and the kids, you know, just in the parking lot. And so you could come to your balcony where you would be safe and you could watch folks parade through the parking lot. And then they allowed people to have stations at their home. So folks who live on sort of a bottom floor, their apartments, the patios lead right out to the sort of flat land. So people could come up and kids could, you know, grab candy safely. I mean, it was great. I mean, yeah, folks have been doing some really creative stuff and students have been just pleased that we've allowed them to, and they know that they want to do so safely, because if it's not safe, then we won't be able to continue. So the level of care they've taken so that we can continue to do these events has been amazing.
That is great to hear. And you can hear your enthusiasm come through as you're describing all of this. And what a great thought partner you have been for the students in this way. I mean, I can only imagine the complexities of someone comes to you with an idea and says, hey, we'd like to get a group of people together and this is what we'd like to do. And you and the other members of the student affairs team have to kind of figure out, is it possible? If so, what might it look like as you work with the students? I think it says a lot.
Yeah, and we had to create, there's some faculty staff and we just pretty much came together. It's like there's like 10 of us and we created an event review committee. And that's not something we had to do, but it was more of like, we want to be able to support the students. And you know, I'm one person and when I'm thinking of event, I'm like, one, I'm driven by the students being happy. So I could totally do this wrong because I'm like, sure, I want you to be happy, be safe, wear your mask, go. And it's like, but wait, we have to think about this. So I think, you know, just getting some faculty involved, getting some voices outside of student affairs has been extremely helpful as well. And the review committee is great. And we go back and forth quite a bit just to ensure that the students are as safe as possible. So yeah, it's been a Herculean effort, but gosh, this is what I love about Dard, right? The community. It doesn't just stop at student affairs to take care of students. It transfers out into the entire population who's looking for the students to have a great experience holistically. And that's what's made this easier than it could have been perhaps in a different environment. So yeah, I love working here and the people that we have. They're so committed.
Well, I always learn things on these podcast interviews. I didn't know about this like 10-person committee that is looking at all of the events. That's great to hear that there's that group of people that comes together. And I think it says so much that y'all are trying to find ways to keep this kind of student life rolling during this time. It would be much easier to say, hey, we're not doing this. But that would really be Darden, right?
No, and that's why people, I think the students do express their appreciation for it because they're like, I chose Darden because of the community. I chose Darden because of the way it made me feel, how the other students made me feel, how it felt so welcoming in the classroom. And to cancel all events just wouldn't be Darden. So although it's been a lot of work, and I think all of us would agree, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. It's the late hours, the last minute calls, because pretty much students have access to my text messages, my call, because it's that important that they'd be able to access me if there were ever a problem or anything. So just thinking about the extra time that's put in, you know, that could just, to someone could just be daunting. But I think the way Darden operates and the whole idea of community, we want that to translate even during this sort of unprecedented time.
I'm curious your thoughts on how student organizations fit into the overall student experience, the Darden experience. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about this developmentally for our students, you know, the first year, you know, clubs and organizations are part of life here, certainly for first year students. In the second year, we frequently hear about students taking on a leadership role in a club or organization. How do you think about this arc as part of the overall Darden experience from a developmental standpoint?
Yeah, I think it helps them to develop both personally and professionally. And that's what you hope, right? I think from any academic experience that you're getting better both as an individual, but also, you know, progressing in your career. I think that's the ultimate reason you came here, is to progress in your career, but you leave here different than when you came. And the idea is that different would be better. And I think what students, you know, they enter the unknown, they're just a bit fearful, this is new, it's a lot of change. And what they do is they adapt. They learn to prioritize because everything can be important right now, you know, and I try to, train them to also adapt day to day, because what was important today may not be able to be important tomorrow. And so just the resiliency that they build in an environment like this, where, you know, there's a lot of newness and they're not being taught sort of, this is the lesson, this is what you need to know for the exam, you know, regurgitate that for the exam. It's a very different way of learning. So, you know, just the resiliency, the adaptability, that in itself is going to make you a different person on the other end. I think the students are like, that was hard and that was a lot, you know, in their first year. But when they get to Q4, they're making choices about their classes. And so they're like, okay, it's a bit of relief. I'm seeing what second year will be like. This is good. And by then they have their internships. So they're feeling on their feet. And then in the second year, this opportunity to say, I'm going to leave my mark in this way. Yeah, it's so much growth, and they learn to be great people, and they learn what they're capable of. I think many of them probably would say, you know, 2 weeks in, I cannot do this. And one, I have to remind them, you're already doing it. So you can do it. You're already in it. Let's just go through. But by the end of it, they agree that, wow, that was worth it, because I'm leaving here and I can't think of what's going to stop me now. Yeah, it's great.
Well, what would you want a prospective student to know about Darden? Somebody who is maybe just very early in the process, looking to learn a bit more about the business school. What would you want that person to know?
Yeah, it is a community. I think people say that and people may not believe it. But you come here and it is sort of the Darden family. We have one Darden week, and it used to be like a diversity week, but we changed the name of it to one Darden because it is one Darden. And I think if COVID's shown us nothing, it's shown us that is exactly true about Darden. You come here and you are not just a person who's navigating through this process. You are here together with your peers navigating this process, and standing on the sidelines cheering for you are your faculty and the staff and your other peers. And so to know that you're coming to a place where you, like, the arms are open, like welcoming you, and they are willing to invest in you as you go through the journey. What more can you ask from a place? Like, you already know you're going to get the academics. You're introducing yourself into an academic setting, so you'll get the learnings. But to know that you'll get those learnings in addition to having people there to support you, I'd say you want to be here.
Well, you shared so much advice with us here, Zakiya. I wonder if you have one last word of advice or tip that you would share with our prospective student listeners. Anything that you would encourage them to think about as they embark upon their MBA journey?
Wow, okay, I'm put on the spot here. the one thing, keep an open mind. I think and I say that because I think people have probably told everybody that as COVID has been around, because it's easy to get inside your head, close down, shut down. But I'll give you the reasons I'm saying that. One, yes, because of COVID. I think open mind is just a place you want to be in, because it allows you to, one, see the silver linings. It allows you to see the good parts. It allows you to believe that we will get through this. But that's exactly what you need to get through Darden. The possibilities are endless. But unless you keep an open mind, it's sometimes hard to see it. And when you're coming into so much newness, from the classroom to your 330 peers, you know, it could be easy to just shut down and take yourself inside and say, I can do this myself. I know I'm not here to make friends. I'm just here to learn and get through this. But by keeping an open mind and just sort of being open to the possibilities and being even open to your peers, you can just learn so much. And we talked about earlier this idea of the whole arc of this is this idea of that you will come out, you know, personally and professionally developed. That open mind will allow you to just gain so much more. Like, it won't just be a development. It'll be like, this was an amazing experience for all these many reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely with what you're sharing there. The idea of openness seems as almost a prerequisite for the kind of transformation that is really at the heart of the Darden experience. Zakiya, thank you so much for carving some time out of what I'm sure is a very busy day for you. There's always something going on with our students. They're always planning something, as you've attested, even in the midst of COVID and everything going on in the world. They're still looking for ways.
Even in the rain.
Undaunted, undaunted, still remaining active. So it's great having this time with you. This is a podcast I was really looking forward to because we've been getting so many questions. As you know, many of our prospective students are focused on the community experience here. That is a big differentiator for Darden. Wanted to know what was going on grounds in light of COVID-19. And I have to say, I think we covered it.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. Oh, great. My light went out. Sorry. I'm in my office. I'm too still. Thank you so much for having me. Just appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I'm so glad to be, you know, able to talk, you know, to prospective students. You want to be here. If you're thinking about Darden, this is just a great place to be. So definitely put us on your short list. And I'm available too. So I'm available to our current students for sure. But I'm also available to you if you were to have questions about sort of what is the student life experience about specifically about a club that you're interested in, the experience, because I support students through their experience here. If you want to talk to a student, be connected to someone who has a specific interest or is going to a specific field, I'm here for you as well if you'd like to connect with me. So I'm sure that information can be provided to you. I think you can also find me on the Darden website. But yeah, it was so great to be here. And I want to be here of help if I can for any perspectives.
Thank you, Zakiya. I hope you stay safe and well out there. And best of luck in the coming weeks.
Yes. No, thank you so much. And have a great day.
And that was my interview with Zakiya Pierre, Director of Student Engagement here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.